Good morning, Mill City. It is really good to be with you and worship the living God. For anybody who's maybe new with us, my name is Aaron Stern. I'm the lead pastor here, and welcome to everybody joining us on live stream. Before we jump into the message today, I just want to highlight Brotherhood, which is coming up this Saturday. So men, mark your calendar, plan on being there 9 to 1. You can grab a card on a seat back around you. You can scan the QR code to register. You can also take this as maybe an invite card for a friend. Our guest speaker for Brotherhood, his name is Jim Murphy. I would suspect that most in the room don't know who that is, but he wrote a book called Inner Excellence. In this book, he writes, "I've learned what we really want is beyond our tangible goals and pursuits is to feel totally alive. We crave great experiences and meaningful relationships, and we long to reach our full potential. We want to be challenged and creative. We want to grow. We want freedom to live with passion and pursue our dreams regardless of what people think, how much money we make, or what level of status we acquire. Ultimately, we want the best possible life, absolute fullness of life." Jim Murphy is a performance coach. He's worked with Olympic athletes. He was just at the Olympics. He's worked with Tiger Woods and other high-profile athletes around the world. But more importantly than that, he's a Jesus follower and knows that the ultimate full life is a life walked with Jesus. And so, men, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a really valuable and important time. So register, bring a friend. And if you're a young adult in the room, cost is only $10, so hope to see you at that. It's going to be a powerful time. And ladies, help your husband, boyfriend, fiance, brother, whoever, get there. Encourage them. Tell them they'll be better for it, because it's true, all right? Well, today we are concluding our practice worship series, and this is a series of different practices that we've been doing throughout the last year and a half or so. And at the end of each one of those, we have posted a blog, and the same thing is true for this particular series. So on our blog is a practice worship blog that gives some additional resources, books, some podcasts, and as well, and particularly a podcast that I recorded with a friend of mine that I've known for a long, long time. That's a worship leader, and so we'd encourage you to grab that. That's on our website, millcitychurch.org. Today, I'm excited to have a conversation with Dr. Pete Sanchez. And Dr. Pete has been involved in worship ministry for over 50 years, both as a worship leader, songwriter, been part of producing, has served in lots of roles throughout the church and throughout the kingdom of God. He and his wife, Karen, just celebrated 51 years of marriage. And congratulations. And is maybe most well known for writing the song in 1976, the song I Exalt Thee, which if you've been around church for a little while, you're probably familiar with that. A song that has been a gift to the church and to the world. And so excited that you're here. Thank you for being with us. I'd love for you maybe just to share a little bit about your story. You started with just a desire and a passion for music, but yep. Talk about how, what God did with that.
I didn't grow up in a musical family, but I watched my mom one time in the kitchen play the spoons. You know what the spoons are? That's kind of an old way of talking about just taking these spoons and doing all this rhythm stuff on the counter. And she was really good. That's when I found out she'd been a drum major and all kinds of different things. But what that did, that created a spark in me for music. And I was almost in junior high. You know, when you go to junior high, you started getting into the music or sports things. And I became a drummer. I played the drums, and that desire for drumming, I excelled really quickly through junior high and high school and got a scholarship to the college in my city and ended up getting a music degree from there as well. Loved just playing the drums. But the more I played the drums, this is going to sound funny, I got tired of beating on things. I remember telling somebody, I'm just tired of beating on things. I mean, I still do it. Even when the band was playing, I was back there going, you know, it's just in your blood. But I began to learn how to play the guitar, learn how to play keys, learn how to begin doing producing, began doing arranging, did arranging for our college group. We traveled to Europe, did a bunch of stuff that I had done for them. I was now conducting, going into studio, doing studio sessions. I was doing as much music as I could possibly do in as many genres as I possibly could do it. But there was something empty in me. And so it was through a series of encounters where I met the Lord radically in college. I had this radical salvation experience where, it's funny, an older man, a vintage man, I like to use the word vintage rather than older, came in, because I am now one of those, he came into our class, and a class I absolutely hated in university. And I was doing poorly in it and didn't care. I was making a D. I was just hoping to get by. But it was a large class. This guy came in, older guy. I'm thinking he's an older guy who listens to older guys. And he got up and he started talking about what it means to know Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, whatever else you believe about Christianity and Jesus, here's the truth. When you meet Jesus, you change. And I sat in the back of the room. It's as though somebody pulled an arrow and went through the room, pinned me to my chair. And I heard the Lord speak to me for the first time, and he said, your problem is you've never changed. And I took the entire day to wrestle with that. I went home. My mother hadn't seen me in weeks. I lived clear across town. Walked in, didn't say a word, went to the back room and wrestled with God for the most of the afternoon and that evening until finally that night I yielded and said, Lord, save me. And from that moment, I can track my entire Christian experience with music, worship, and life back to that moment. I had a time after a little while when the Lord woke me up one night, and he said, I want you to get up, and I want you to write down your journey. I want you to go back to the beginning, write down all the significant places and people that I've used in your life. And so literally, I got a piece of paper, and I began to go back by date. Back then, I could remember all the dates. Went back by date, and the Lord, after I did all that, the Lord said, now look at it and remember how much I've loved you. So my journey towards worship has not been just because of music as much as I love music. It's because my music was really pointing to something else that I could not yet hear or understand. And that happened later when I had, after my experience with the Lord, where I got radically converted, where I went, and it wasn't maybe a year or so later, I had a radical experience with the Holy Spirit. And it was in that moment when I began to see that something was different in me, and I had a different sensitivity to what was going on around me, but I couldn't yet explain it. I didn't have words or grammar for it yet. And the minister, one of my good leader friends at that time, who had been a pastor to my wife and her family, took me into a large sanctuary with a grand piano, and he said these words to me. He said, I want you to sit down and worship. I did not know what he was talking about. If he'd have told me, sit down and play a song, I could have done that. Sing a song, I could have done that. But when he said worship, it threw me into a totally different category. So I'm here today because of a long journey where I was trying to figure out who God was, who I was, what this gift of music was in me, where it was taking me. I wanted to go one direction and be the next, you know, top 40 artist who everybody knew, but the Lord drew me back into loving the church and the people of God and taking what he was doing in me to serve the people of God, never knowing that I would ever be here with you doing what I'm doing. This was not my plan. This was his plan. And it all happened because of my mom playing some spoons on a table, and a vintage guy in a class I was failing coming in and saying words that set me free. And when it set me free suddenly to walk into a world that was just beginning to unfold at that time. I grew up in a really traditional church background where you just stay jammed in your skin and you never express yourself. You just, you know, you tried to be silent and holy. And I was neither, I wasn't really either in the real world, you know. But when I came in those places, I had to be that. But suddenly, because of what happened with this experience with the Holy Spirit and being radically converted, something opened up in me to what God was doing. I didn't know He was going to use me in any capacity. I just knew that I was hungry and thirsty for something that I wasn't getting. And He alone satisfied that for me.
Such a beautiful way that God engages us in our unique stories and lives. And of course, that led you on a path that's brought you all over the world, really, in leading worship, participating, writing, all those things. And worship is a big deal. It's all throughout Scripture. We see the people of God worshiping when they're brought through the Red Sea. Mary worships after finding out that she's going to carry the Messiah. The Psalms, the song book of the Bible is full of all of songs that are written and that we carry today, and where I exalt thee came from out of the Psalms. And even in Psalm 113, I'll actually read a couple of verses. It says, praise the Lord, you His servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. It's a declarative, like, do this kind of a thing, not like if you feel like it or, you know, if you have a good voice, but this is what we do. So maybe to zoom out and is to ask the question, how would you define worship? What is worship?
I think this is a really important question for the church, because you've come to a Sunday morning worship service. So what did you actually come to do? What is this all about? And I know working with worship musicians and pastors and leaders, one of the questions you have to try to answer is, what is worship? What is this thing that we do on Sunday morning? Some people believe it's just a service. It's something you come to on Sunday, a worship service, a Sunday morning worship. It's a place to gather. And it is that. Other people think it's just... you know, no holes barred, full expression, don't worry about the clock, just go after it and be super physical in worship. And sometimes it can be that. Others think it's just coming in and being holy and being reverential and being silent and making sure that everything's done decently and in order. And you sit, and that, there's truth to that as well. There's others that think it's very sacramental, liturgical, and they call bells and smells and all that kind of stuff. I say all of those are true. All of those can be true. And they've certainly been true in my life. As I've meandered through this life I call Christ following, He's taken me in and through and out of lots of movements of what people said God was doing. So I had to come to some sort of understanding of what worship is. So let me give you one that maybe will sit well with you, that will make sense to you. Worship is a response to all that God is with all that you are. It's a response to all that God is with all that you are. And by that I mean worship is a response to all the ways that God has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ to you. And when you see Him rightly, and when you see Him completely, and when you have the kind of encounter with Him where you begin to realize what He's done for you. We sang about it this morning. About the redemption that we've experienced and what He's done for us. When you begin to see that and it begins to fill your view, when His throne begins to fill your view, you can do nothing else but respond. Nobody has to pull your arm to do anything. I grew up very in a very conservative church, and for me to do what I do now would have seemed heretical back then. But it wasn't because I was trying to be strange or different. It's because the Lord had come and done a marvelous work in me. If you knew me when growing up, I grew up in a very broken situation, very poor. My dad was an alcoholic. I had 3 brothers, 4 sisters. My mom was a single mom without a job. We were trying just to make it. And it was the church that came along and really helped us. I love the church because I've seen what a worshiping people can do for culture and community. Mm. They don't just sit in places like this. They do something that finds people like me that allows me to sit here with this great guy in this great place doing this great thing because he's a great God. So I just want to say to you that worship is a response. As you sit here today, there's worship going on in the heavens. And we're being asked and invited to participate in that. When the worship team invites you, when Aaron invites you, it's not just to do a bunch of physical stuff. It's about to remember. Mm-hmm. Remember what God has done. Mm-hmm. I saw on a couple of his teaching a couple times back, he had all these videos of going to football games, how crazy people get when they go to football games. And yet they come to church and they stay jammed in their skins. And yet we have a message that can change the world. Mm-hmm. We have a God who is actively working in his world. Don't believe what you see in the news. Our God is alive and well on planet Earth. Yeah. And he is doing his work, and he's doing it through people just like you. You're God's plan A, and there's no plan B. And so whatever he's going to do, he's going to do it with people like us. And so as we think about worship and as we think about what we do, we need to remember that when we come here, we've come to respond to what he's already done. And we respond because as Aaron preaches and as you're together as community, you begin to see more and more of the goodness of God in your life. And the more you see of that, the more you want to respond in a way that he's worthy of. Worship needs to be worthy of the life that he lived and gave for us. The price that he paid, our worship needs to be worthy of the beauty of that sacrifice. He sits at the right hand of God, interceding for every one of you right now. Interceding for me, listening to what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, listening to what you're thinking. And his desire is to usher you into a place where your capacity for him is increased, your gratitude is increased, and your worship becomes not duty, but delight.
You talk about gathering. Yep. Of course, we can worship individually and we can worship collectively like this. And there's power in that. I love, it's Anne Lamott. She, author, wrote, "I live for Sundays. It's like going to the spiritual gas station to fill up on fuel and clean the dirty windshield and mirrors." And I especially love this. "I usually show up nuts, self-obsessed, vaguely agitated. And I am at once reminded not of who I am, but whose I am." Respond to that, because I love her honesty on one hand about where she's at. Yeah. And then also what it is that she experiences in that space.
Well, I've been there. I've actually been leading worship. And as I'm leading, I'm thinking, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. Because you work on your music beforehand, and sometimes things work and sometimes things don't work. And then you see people sitting out there doing this. And you just want to go, I'm out of here, you know. But all the while you're saying, come on, let's worship Jesus. And you're thinking, I want to get off the platform, you know. So
that's why worship leaders lead with their eyes closed.
That's right. They close their eyes because they don't want to see it either, you know. So I've been there many, many times. You know, especially when we started having kids. One time I was leading worship, and my daughter decided to throw up on the front row. And I went down there, and she threw up again on me. So I'm back up on the platform leading worship with this stuff all over me. Now, talking about humility, talking about authentic worship, talking about being in a place where, you know, that's not cool. It doesn't look good on TV. You know, there's no way for me to explain that. But I loved my daughter more than what I was doing. And I've told people, it was a blessing to me. I mean, it was an anointing oil. Let's just put it that way. but anyway, I've been many times where I've not wanted to do what I was doing for any host of reasons. I've been slimed before I've come on the platform. Somebody say something, do something, or been in a tense place or a tense financial place or, you know, I'm trying to work, or I have a drummer who doesn't show up, or some musician decides at the last minute that God's calling them to the mountains, and we're having to wrestle with those kinds of things. And But the great thing is, you know, the great thing is when you came here, whatever you were carrying, God's not surprised by any of it. Mm-hmm. He's been waiting for you. Mm-hmm. Because what he's going to do in the world, he's going to do through us. Mm-hmm. Just the way we are. Mm-hmm. But we come to places like this so we don't stay down. We don't stay agitated. We come for healing. And we come for healing amongst one another, from him, while we're together. I've never figured out a way to be a Christian by myself. I read a lot about people that say you can. I just don't think it's possible. I think to be a Christ follower, you need other people who can speak into your life. I need an Aaron Stern. I need you. And it's not just because I'm trying to be religious. I'm trying to make it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be a good Christ follower. I don't want to fall into the ditch like so many people have fallen into because they've tried to live a life by their own power. I need you to help me get over these kinds of things she's talking about, but at the same time knowing that God has been waiting for me this entire time. You've come here this morning. He's been waiting for you. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. And he's here to be the answer if you can turn your faces towards him honestly, and let your worship be authentic. Mm-hmm. Don't try to fake it. Don't try to just throw words up in the air and hope he'll catch a few. Be honest, because that's the way he moves in our lives.
So good. In all of my conversations with you about worship, something that I don't think has not come up in those conversations is presence. Yeah. You say worship is all about presence. Can you unpack that for us?
Sure. I'll try. The presence of the Lord, the scripture talks a lot about the presence of the Lord. There are incidents in the scriptures that when I read them, I sit there and I sit back and I go, really? This happened? When I speak about the presence, and I speak about the presence more than I speak about worship, the presence of the Lord is an increased awareness of the God who is always with us. He's here. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you with me, is here. He still raises the dead. He still moves in power. And it's becoming aware of the God who is present that is, when I talk about presence, that's what I'm talking about. It's an increased capacity to respond to acknowledge, to be surprised by, to be spoken to by the God that we read about in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Our God is a living God. He's alive and well. He speaks, he moves, and he's in our midst. And he's here by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things that Jesus died and was raised again to accomplish when he said to the Father about his will being done, not his own will. There's a will being done that's being embodied in this room. And it's being carried on by the Holy Spirit. He's here. He doesn't want you wondering, is God here? Is God in this place? I'm here to announce, as Aaron has done many times, that the Lord is in this place. And so presence for me has to do with those moments when time ceases, when it's an atmosphere that welcomes the Lord and makes room for him to be who God is. Let me give you an example from my life. When I wrote I Exalt Thee, I was young and younger, and I was trying to write a song from all 150 Psalms. I was just doing it for me. I wasn't shopping music. I wasn't trying to make a name for myself. And I came across Psalm 97:9, verse 9, which is where the song comes from. And I just wrote a melody to that verse. But I knew there was more to it, but I couldn't get to it. And as a songwriter, it's always a little bit frustrating. So I waited, and it took 6 months or so, and I kept singing that little ditty, that little song, waiting for something more to come. Well, one Sunday morning in April, I remember like it was yesterday, we were going to church, we were running a little bit late. I sat down at the piano to go through that little verse that I had again. But this time something happened. As I was writing and I got to the end wondering what was needed to finish the song, the chorus came, but I had a moment when literally it felt like I stepped into another room. It was a different space. It was a different, it was like something got suspended and I was pulled into a place. And I began to sing that chorus and realize that something had transpired, but I didn't know what it was. Something had happened. Something had changed. The atmosphere had changed. Something happened. So I told the Lord, thank you, Lord, for the chorus. I appreciate the chance to finish the song. It's going to be a blessing to me when I sing and work through the Psalms. Thank you, Lord. Went to church. You know, nothing happened. But about a month or two later, I was invited to a big national songwriters conference. And there were pastors and artists and songwriters there from all over the country. And we were invited to present our two best songs. I was the last one on the program. And so I gave them my top 40 songs. I mean, two of them with a great hook and great music. I was excited about them. I knew they would be, you know. So I sang the songs, and at the end of it, they clap politely and say, you know, yay, you know. And the moderator just stopped. I thought he was going to close the meeting, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, do you have anything else? I was the only one he asked that. And the only thing I had fresh out of the bucket was Exalting. And so I started to sing it, got through the verse part. When I got to the chorus, the same thing that had happened to me in the piano in my home happened in that large room. Without understanding how it happened, I saw everybody on their feet, tears rolling down their face, them hands in the air. This is pastors, artists, worship leaders singing at the top of their voice. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. That's the simplest song I've ever written. I wanted you to do that with the other two songs, not with this one. So I was having an out-of-body experience. But God spoke to me, and he said, I didn't choose those two. I choose this one. And it's been a gift to the church and to the world, which, and I was telling Aaron last night, I still don't understand it. But I can say to you that stepping into, there is a place with God that you can step into that's more than just sitting in a meeting and singing songs. It doesn't have to happen in a meeting. It's happened to me in my car where I've had to pull off, where the presence of the Lord was so thick in the middle of the day, not at night, not early in the morning, where the Lord has come and he's spoken something to me, or I've begun singing. I was worshiping, singing, and there was tears would flow, and I'm not that emotional about that kind of stuff, but I just want you to know that there's more for you than what you think. That this thing called Christianity is not rooted in some sort of fanciful idea or some sort of, you know, propositional something or another. It's rooted in a person. It's rooted in a relationship. And he wants a relationship with you, and he wants to be near to you. He wants to speak to you, and he wants to build your capacity to know when he's near. We read in the scriptures about what's going on in the heavens even now. That's where we're headed. We're headed to a place where worship is primary because Jesus is King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. You shared with me recently your desire when you talk about presence is like for there to be a new or a stirred hunger and thirst. Yeah. And so what does that mean to you, and what would that mean for us, and how would you encourage people to lean into that?
There's a song we used to sing a long time ago. I sang it as a kid. It said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. You know the song? And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of what? His glory and grace. You know, we hunger and thirst for a lot of different things. And it's where we hunger, it's what we hunger and thirst for, is that's what we'll use that to fill ourselves up with whatever we're thirsting and hungering for. To worship and to know the Lord the way he desires for us to know him, it requires us turning our hunger and thirst from the things that will never satisfy. You know, we all learn that the hard way. Whether it's money or you know, vocational challenges, or those little things are all good. But for me, hunger and thirst is this kind of true north for me that always alerts me to turn my eyes back on Jesus, to look full, to not be distracted into his wonderful face. And as I do that, all these other things begin to fade away in the light of the relationship that he and I have together. And what I've learned about that true north moment, because if you're an aviator, you know, in aviation, you know that you can just be a little bit off a true north and be way off course. But the reality is, worship helps us focus on true north, who is Jesus himself. What it did, by focusing there, it made me a better husband. I had one goal in life, because my family was so busted and broken up, and my dad was an alcoholic. By the way, he later became a Christian in a meeting I was holding. But he was broken up, had a single mom, three brothers, four sisters. She was trying to make it when my dad left when I was 12 years old. And our life was a mess. It was a church came along and helped us. But I guess what I want to say to us about this whole idea of presence is, and focus and hunger and thirst, is that those kinds of movements by the local church in my area created something in me to hunger and thirst for God. When you do what you do as the church, there's a lot of me's out there who may not say anything. There's a lot of young people out there that are looking for the real deal. They're looking for something real. And what I want to say to all of us here, our God is alive and well. He is doing powerful things in the earth, and he is calling multi-generations to come and partner with him in what he's doing. And I just want to say to you that when you begin, it all starts. The only thing that I know that begins that process is hungering and thirsting for God. That you have to drink from the Spirit. You have to marinate in his word. And you go to the scriptures, maybe at the beginning, out of somebody told you should do that. But if you go long enough and present yourself there, something begins to happen. As you marinate in his word, it begins to create capacity in here for the God who is present always and desires to fill our hunger and thirst for that which he designed for us to have.
That's my prayer for all of us. That we all, yeah, and no matter if you've been walking with Jesus for a short amount of time or for decades, there's always more, and there's that hunger doesn't fade, or we think, oh, I've got enough, right?
Yeah, I told Aaron this last, I think you can sing Amazing Grace and not be amazed anymore. And what we're talking about here is coming back to the place to remember. Remember what God's done. Remember what he did for you. And I tend to forget. I tend to forget. Worship reminds me. Worship challenges me. Reminds me, brings me back to a place where I first met him and he first loved me, when I didn't love him at all, when I didn't want him at all, or when I wanted some caricature of him. And then when he shows up on the scene, it just changes everything.
I want us all to take a moment and respond in worship. And I've asked Pete to lead us in I Exalt Thee. And so if you're able, will you stand, please? And in this moment, you know, it's not just like, oh, he wrote it, let's have him sing the song. It's really about leading us to the presence of God. And my prayer is that each one of us would lean in with a greater sense of expectation. Maybe even anticipation, like I anticipate that I'm going to meet with God. Maybe it's going to be goosebumps, maybe it's going to be an ambush, and maybe it's not going to be any of those things, but I just want a heightened sense of the awareness of God's nearness. And so thank you for writing this song so many years ago, and the gift that it has been to the church all around the world, and the gift that it can be to us today.
I Exalt Thee is it's a vertical song. It's, we turn this direction. And then it's also a corporate song, because when God hears us singing, I exalt thee, he hears us together. He hears a we exalt thee. So we're going to sing this song, and I'm just going to invite you to join what's already going on in the heavens. To be a part of what he designed you to be, that is a worshiper of the Most High God, a servant of the Most High God. And to sing it with this simple song. Would you sing with me? For thou, O Lord, you know it, art high above all the earth. Yes, thou art exalted far above all gods. It's a little g, gods who are not gods. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted. Let's sing that phrase again. Thou art exalted. Sing it again. Thou art exalted far above. Turn our face towards heaven. Sing, I exalt thee. I exalt thee, Jesus. I exalt thee, Lord. I exalt thee, oh Lord. I exalt thee, and
beautiful. Can we just thank Dr. Pete for being here, leading us and sharing. Thanks for depositing something in us today. And my prayer is that something is caught, and that if nothing else, there's a stirring for and a hunger that is growing in each one of us and together for Jesus. For some of you, maybe in the room, you're like, I don't know Jesus in the way that he talked about it. Like, I've been to church, or I know about church, or I've heard about, but it seems like it was always just about doing this or making sure that you're, you know, doing the right thing. But this, like, engaging and knowing and encountering God as a person with presence, this may be something new for you. If that's you here today, can I just invite you, or really the Holy Spirit invite you, to put your faith in Jesus today. Say yes to Jesus. Enter into the family of God. Receive a new identity, a new mission for and purpose in life. If that's you, it's a simple prayer, really, to say, Jesus, I surrender. It's not the only thing we need to say to God, but it's an amazing first thing to say to God that really begins a journey of allowing Him to direct our lives so all of our lives give glory and worship to Him. And so if that's you, or maybe for the first time in a long time, I just said that under your breath, Jesus, I surrender. I said, I want to follow you. I want to do it your way. You've made the most important decision of your life, the most life-transforming decision of your life. Maybe you're here and you're like, I'm interested, but I got more questions. I'm not ready for that. Can't encourage you enough to participate in Alpha. It's coming up in a couple of weeks as a way to explore some of those questions and those things that maybe you're wondering about Jesus. And for all of us, weekly practice, as we do every week, is to create space for worship so that we can connect to the presence of God. Like, okay, God, I want to go knowing I want to heighten my awareness. I want to tune in better. So maybe it's in the morning. I highly encourage some sort of daily rhythm, what it looks like to create some space so that we meet with God and experience Him. Wherever you might find yourself, I want to pray that the hunger and thirst in each one of us would grow. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. For some of us, maybe in the room, we're like, I want to desire that, but I don't even desire that, so would you help me to want to desire it? For others of us, maybe we're in a place where we'd say, my hunger has waned, but would you help it grow again? Would you bring it back? No matter where we are in this space, we all can, there's more of you to know and more of you to experience. And so help us hunger and thirst for you. Help us fix our eyes on you. To be brought back from the things that distract us. To fix our eyes, our hearts, our lives, everything on you. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen.